Tom. How are you?
Good. Phil's the president of the Illinois Coal Association joining us this morning. You know, Phil, there's been so much focus on the budget and what's going on in that particular area in Illinois that I think at some point people don't recognize there are other things going on in the legislature, specifically on coal. I was reading a press release from your office that kind of highlighted some of these items because, oh, you know how it is, the oxygen gets sucked out of the room on some other issues and you stop hearing about some of the stuff that, well, you may care about. One item that I noticed was involving tax on mining machinery and equipment sales.
Yes. Yeah, we're kind of fortunate. We've got a favorable tax policy in Illinois, and actually all manufacturers do as well, because there's a manufacturer's machinery and equipment sales tax exemption. So it kind of gives us a competitive advantage over some of our counterparts, although some of the other states have modeled that as well. Our exemption, though, sunsets every 5 years. So we have introduced, actually, Representative Costello has introduced legislation for us to delete that sunset clause so that to make the tax exemption more permanent. And I think that gives certainty to coal producers that that tax policy is going to, you know, be there all the time. So we think that's an important tool that we have to try to attract business to Illinois.
All right. Now, another item, and I didn't see this as a coal issue, and then you think about it for a moment. What do you see running up and down Route 13? They're coal trucks.
Yep.
A House bill involving a commercial distribution fee. Is this the fee that people had talked about a few years back that was literally making taxation on driving big trucks, right? One of the most expensive states. That's that law?
That's law. Well, that was put in by Blagojevich back in the 2004, 2005.
Right.
And it is a surcharge on your license plate fees just for trucks. And unlike all the other road fund taxes, this goes to the general revenue fund. You know, most truckers don't mind paying fuel taxes and taxes if it goes to support the roads that they're driving on. But this was a straight hit that goes to the general revenue fund, and it literally drove trucking companies out of state. It's a 14% sales tax, and for some companies, it's a huge hit.
Yeah, I remember when this happened. Well, I remember specifically speaking to state representative Mike Bost, of course, Bost Trucking.
Right.
So, you know, it knew quite a bit about this. And what was interesting is I remember this going on and the truck drivers going, no, you don't understand. Our company's moving out of state. Illinois made Illinois the fifth most expensive place to operate a truck.
Yep.
Now,
absolutely.
Now, there's another one, too, as well. And this is interesting because when coal is fighting for its life, I don't think that's hyperbole, is it, Phil?
No, it's not. And I thought one of the things that I just check in with you today is coal production, because in Illinois during 2016, our production went down by 12 million tons, about 22%. And we can trace most of that to the war on coal by the Obama administration. Now, there's a little bit of silver lining to that cloud. Fourth quarter production in Illinois was up almost 9%, and we did gain 380 jobs.
In
the fourth quarter, it's coming up.
Didn't that fourth quarter production put us as the third largest coal producer in the U.S.?
Yeah, I haven't seen the final production numbers from Pennsylvania or Kentucky, but we actually pulled ahead of them. Do you know that in Kentucky, their coal production since 2008 has declined 63%?
No kidding. Wow.
And for the country since 2008, and that's an important year, for the country, we've lost 38% of our coal production. We went from 1.2 billion tons to 750 million tons. So, of course, with the changes at the federal level, we expect some of that to change. We don't think coal's going to come back. It can't come back to the 2008 levels. But at least we'll be able to stop the bleeding.
Because you talked about federal, because when I was saying coal fighting for its life, we have some of the most stringent coal laws of any state. So that's a problem. And then you've got federal law. Now, in particular, the Streams Act that had been such an issue before. Any movement on this, Phil?
Yeah, we expect Congress, and I guess they ran into a procedural issue. This was the Stream Protection Rule, total rewrite of the federal mining regulations, no input from states like Illinois that is responsible for administering the federal law. And it was issued by the Obama administration in December as they're going out the door. The only good news for that is the Congressional Review Act allows Congress to disapprove laws that or rules that are made by the administration, and they have to do it within 60 days of the rule being issued. I think there was a technical procedure that they couldn't act on it until this week, so we fully expect the Congress to pass a resolution that disallows that rule from taking effect. We think that would have cost hundreds of, thousands of jobs all across the country. The rule was designed to put mountaintop mining out of business in West Virginia, and that's pretty much happened by other federal policies. But the federal government, in its infinite wisdom, had, well, let's do a one-size-fits-all, and we'll make it effective across the entire country. Well, the last time I looked, there are not too many mountains in Illinois, nor in southern Illinois, and I think we are protective of the environment when we mine. So hopefully this rule is going to go away, and that's one of the positive things that we're looking at for 2017.
All right, here's the thing, Phil. I grew up around coal and coal miners and people dying of black lung. I've walked up and down spoils from strip mines. I know the slate and just barely the roughest trees holding on, and I've seen the way the land has been abused when it's not taken care of. And on the other hand, the largest big mouse bass I ever caught was just east of Glen O'Jones Lake out of a pond there that was made from lands that had been returned to their original state by coal mines. I consider myself a proponent of coal and an environmentalist. I mean, I grew up on the farm. I know how important it is to have, the food, the clean soil, while at the same time being able to look not far away and see a copper stream from bad mines. I mean, can you be a supporter of coal and be an environmentalist? I think so, Phil, but I have a hard time convincing other people of it.
Well, I think it's going to take time, Tom, because I think if you go back 50 years, I think coal companies didn't do a good job. And part of that was a responsibility for coal mines to clean up their act, and that started with the Surface Mine and Reclamation Act of 1977. And that's the Bible by which all coal mines are reclaimed now, and Illinois is held to that standard. And I think if you look since 1977, our coal operators have been excellent environmental stewards, and you're absolutely right, the final cuts in these surface mines where you have these wonderful ponds for fishing, or you take Pyramid State Park, for example. I mean, that is a reclaimed coal mine. So the environmental stewardship, I think, is an important aspect of coal mining, and I think we show it in Illinois.
Well, I guess we're going to have to show it to a bunch of other people, too, because being able to change the tide is really, Phil, not an enviable position, but the one that you're in, to be able to educate and on the legislative level, as well as with general citizens, that what coal has to offer. Just as I say when I started this interview, Phil's message on his outgoing message is, a message sent from my cell phone powered by coal. We do not associate productivity, quality of life with coal production, and I think we should, but we don't. It's detached, you know what I mean?
It is, and it's just, it's an opportunity like this that I get to have an interview with you and talk about those things. But it's we just take it for granted, which I guess is a good thing. You flick on that coal switch, and if you're in southern Illinois, you're probably served by SIPC or an electric co-op, and that electricity is coming from Illinois coal. And it's coming from those coal mines that coal miners work in, high-paying jobs, that produce the electricity at low cost that really power our economy. And I just think, we just have to remind people every day that, those are the things you should get from coal, the positive. And as you said earlier, we have the most stringent air emissions laws in the world in the United States. I like to say this, since 1970, Tom, United States electricity off of coal has doubled, but air emissions are down 70%, 70%. We don't get credit, or the power plant industry doesn't get credit for the pollution control that they've done. Our air is cleaner, and we are already a model for the rest of the world.
I'm grocery shopping, right, in Carbondale. And a guy walks up. He says, you know, I heard you talking to Phil Gannett the other day. He says, I want you to think about something. You know that nuclear plant down in Metropolis where they make nuclear fuel? He says, those fuel rods go around the world. You know what? Nuclear power is powered by coal because they use the electricity from the coal-fired power plant to create nuclear fuel.
You're right.
Interesting. I thought that perspective was really interesting, that even nuclear power is powered by coal.
Yeah.
It's an interesting point of view. Phil Gannett, president of the Illinois Coal Association.